Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is now the 40th day of Jesus' holy birth, and he has come to his holy temple. And this fact is no small thing. For in the book of Ezekiel, we learn that after many years of Israel and Judah rejecting the Lord in favor of countless idols and false gods, the prophet saw a vision of the glory of the Lord departing from the temple. And it wasn't just a vision, but rather it really happened. And there is no indication that it ever returns. Instead, the temple and the holy city are left to the Babylonians, consigned to destruction. And this is no small thing. God had withdrawn his saving presence from his people. It's doubtful that the Ark of the Covenant even existed anymore. Granted, the temple sacrifices, the temple itself, the Torah, the Word of God, still gave access to God in some way. But here's the thing, the Lord no longer dwelt tabernacled among his people. So, given that, no one would have ever imagined or known, apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that this little child now entering the temple was the return of the glory of God. This 40-day-old Jesus is the temple. He is the glory of the Lord, now tabernacling in the tent of our human flesh. And with that, he brings reconciliation between God and men. He is restoring access to the Lord of heaven and earth. Had Jesus not come to his temple on that 40th day, we would not be here. There would be no altar, and there would be no font. There would be no baptism, and no Holy Supper. There would be no word of consolation and peace from this pulpit. There would be no light beckoning the Gentiles to travel from afar, and no glory would ever shine again on his people Israel. But he did come to his temple, and that is why you and I are here. And that day in the temple, there was only two people that were given to recognize what the Lord was doing in their midst: the aged Simeon and the aged Anna. Simeon, you remember, he was a righteous and devout man. He was full of good works, which was the fruits of his faith. He believed in the Holy Scriptures. He read them, he marked them, he inwardly digested them. He did this not with a show of pretense to look at me, but because he knew the tyranny of sin and death and what it had brought to his life all those years. And so he sought earnestly, as he says, the consolation of Israel. Likewise, there is also Anna, an 84-year-old woman who had been widowed. Likely she was married in her early years, and then after 7 years of marriage, she was now widowed all those years. She too was faithful and devout. No doubt you think about it, her loss of human fellowship, loss of marriage, loss of society, etc., no doubt drove her daily to pray and seek the fellowship of the face of God in his temple and in his church. And now here is her consolation, Mary's son, Jesus. She is filled with thanksgiving. She cannot help but confess and tell her neighbors what has happened. So there they were, these two cross-tested and battle-scarred saints, waiting for the glory of the Lord to return to the temple, for the promises to finally be fulfilled. And so it happened. What also happened was that the Lord was fulfilling the law for us. Not only that not only was he born under the law, suffering the due penalty of its curse, but he's now being presented as the firstborn son before the Lord. This is important because think about the Old Testament reading. Remember that the firstborn sons of Egypt died because of sin and unbelief, while the firstborn sons of Israel were spared in the Passover. Why? Because the blood on the believer's doorpost, as you well remember, pointed to the blood of this firstborn son of Mary, Jesus. As the angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit is the cause of the conception and birth of this child. Therefore, the one to be born is holy unto the Lord, the Son of God. So Christmas, the Passover, firstborn sons, blood, death, it's all tied together in the Son of God as the firstborn son of Mary. And remember that this one, this child, had no sacrifice to keep him from death. Why? Because he is the sacrifice. He is born to die for us all. He is the true sacrifice that marks the bodies and the hearts of all believers. So the great exodus out of sin and death, if you will, is led by a little child. This one, the son of Mary, yet the son of God. And because of this child, Simeon now knows that he can depart, that is, die in peace. So by the Holy Spirit, Simeon beholds this earth-shaking reality that the glory of the Lord has returned to his temple. The Lord now once more tabernacles among his people, for here in the flesh of Jesus is the consolation of all man's ills and the antidote to all sin and death. And in joyful thanksgiving of such a gift, Simeon opens his mouth and he sings that blessed Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared. Consider that in holding this child, Simeon now holds his very protection, consolation, and salvation from death. No matter how dark Simeon's road would become or came, he has the light and the life and the salvation in this holy child of Bethlehem. Though death was imminent, Simeon stood unafraid. He is not afraid to die. He does not tremble at the thought of death, which strikes fear into all men's hearts. No, he stares at death through the lens of this Christ child, whom he knows now has come to his temple to defeat death for him. Now, I don't know if Simeon died that day, but I do know that he could die any day that would come. He could die in peace regardless of the day. And that is really all that matters when you think about it, for him and for us, that we can die in peace whenever that day shall come for us. Because of this child, the jaws of death have been filed off, if you will. Because of this child, his manger, his cross, his empty tomb, death is peaceful and blessed and being in the bosom of Abraham and a mere slumber or nap or any other sweet name the Bible wants to speak of it. This is a blessed comfort to us. For every minute of every day, we are being trained to be afraid of death, of suffering, to melt in fear at the happenings in our world and our society and to the things that happen to our bodies and souls. But here we stand this day with Simeon unafraid. He teaches us that one of the marks of the Christian, and I know this is hard, is that we are ready to die, to depart in peace. Now, this is not to say in any way, shape, or form that we simply resign ourselves to this sad fact, as if to say with the cold logic of Satan and the fatalism of our world, whatever will be, will be. No. There's no peace in that. Rather, faith says this. It says, yes, it is true that I shall die one day from this temporal life on earth, but I also know that I've already died in Christ because of my holy baptism. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. Thus, even though I die, yet shall I live. For as my Savior lived and died and lives again, so I shall live, and though I die, I shall live again as well. So in baptismal grace, we are always ready for the Lord to take us from this valley of sorrow to Himself in heaven. We do not fear the final beatings of the heart or the final last breath of our lungs. We are fully prepared for the end of our life, the end of this world. Why? Because the promised child has returned the glory of God to His temple and to us. And so we are a people who live without the fear of death and judgment, because this child bears its fear and its punishment in His very flesh for us. Beloved, see what the Lord is doing for you this day. As you wait for your own consolation to be revealed, in the very midst of your crosses and your afflictions and your mourning and your sadness, He sustains you by this child, born for you, died for you, and raised for you. The law, sin, death, evil conscience, Satan, all of it is all silenced by the flesh and glory of this child. You come not to this joy by way of positive thinking or your human strength or will, but rather by the Holy Spirit that calls you by the gospel, enlightens you with His gifts, giving you peace and life in the midst of chaos and death. For the little one that is nestled in the arms of Simeon is the very God who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He is the one who spoke all those blessed promises to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This little Lord Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so that, in that sense, He opens our lips, He opens our lips to sing the blessed Nunc Dimittis. He causes us to confess and pray with Anna as well. The glory of the Lord has returned to His temple, and so His sweet song of salvation and peace fills every corner of the earth. Pulpits now proclaim good news of glad tidings and great joy. Baptismal fonts now beget children of God through the word and water. Altars now serve the medicine of immortality, this body and blood, a fleshly testament that God is with you and for you. All this because the Word is made flesh and now dwells among us and fills His temple with gracious presence. And so our Lord returns to His temple this day, not with fingers shaking or scolding, but with His tender mercy, forgiveness, and love. And like Simeon, we discern only by the Holy Spirit His great salvation in our baptism and in the supper that we eat today. And so we know that we shall depart in peace. We can die unafraid. We know that in holding and receiving this Christ child, in eating His supper, resurrection is sure and certain to follow. We shall behold Him in glory with our very own eyes. And this gift alone makes it a most merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen.